The Holy Gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes in near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Because truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Fletcher Davis, and I'm delighted to be with you this morning. It's the first time I've been to St. Andrews, and I'm very impressed, and thank you for such a lovely day. Do you know the difference between an old priest and an old shoe? The last thing that goes in them, the last thing to leave them, is their tongue. From the first line in the gospel today, we remember Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Wow, think about that. It's the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. To Jesus, the kingdom was not just a way of governing or an economy. It was a condition, a system of control. It meant putting God in control at the center of our lives. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. That's what happens when God is at the center of our lives and in control. We call that the kingdom of God. What a glorious gift it is that God gives that to us. And yet, we wonder if that's really so. We remember today still the mass shootings that happened last weekend, the 249th and 250th such occurrences in America this year. What a far cry that is from God's kingdom, from a family bound together in love. What can we do to ameliorate such occurrences? What can we do to avoid such atrocities? Our efforts may seem more frustrating than successful. But frustration seems to be a part of our lives. Well, one of the things that I find most attractive about Scripture, about the Bible, is its realism. No glossing over dashed hopes, no easy fictional endings. Let's see what the scriptures have to say about our frustrations in trying to live the life of faith by looking at today's readings. In our first lesson, we meet a childless Abraham. He's frustrated that without an heir, without a son, his heir will be a household servant. He doesn't want that. But he wants to stand in a right relationship with God. And he prays to God, and he offers himself as a servant to God. And God offers him in return, though he's an old man, the gift of a child, a male heir, whom he calls Isaac. And Jesus' followers will later see Abraham as the father of faith, the father of all who put their trust in the Holy One, and all who stand in a right relationship with Christ, and whose numbers are as great as the stars in the sky or the sands on the shore. In today's epistle, we read more about Abraham. We read about, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It tells us that Abraham left the land of his ancestors and traveled by faith to a land that he had never seen and completely unknown to him. And of course, he faced great frustration in that journey to that unknown place. And he didn't live long enough to get there. He never got to the promised land. What frustration! And still, we feel frustration about things in our own lives and about what happened last weekend and those mass shootings and people who are still being buried as a result of that. On a personal level, did your life yesterday go according to your plans or your hopes? Did you live up to all you expect of yourself? Did you live up to all God expects of you? Does life really contain an ugly flaw, like a gouge on a beautiful tabletop? It seems that even our grandest inventions bear a perverse potential, rockets that reach other worlds. Beyond our own, can also carry nuclear warheads. Computers that save us so much time can also rob us of our privacy. Love that binds us to Christ and to one another can also deliver heartbreak. So what are we to do? We live in a world where God's promised kingdom holds frustrations. Frustrations that heroes of faith like Abraham and all the saints and even Jesus had to face. How then shall we cope with the frustrations in our own journey in faith? One way, of course, is simply deny it. Pretend that there's no obstruction in life, that any frustrations are easy to overcome. Parents admonish their children, "No child of mine should ever fail." Olympic athletes say, "You can win if you just give it 110%. Graduation speakers join the parade. Failure is a word found only in the dictionary of cowards and fools. And of course, we clergy join in the chorus. With God's help, you can do whatever you dream of doing. But those fantasies ultimately cripple positive action. So denial of frustration is one choice. Cynicism is another. life is lousy, then you die. No one is honest or caring anyway. Well, if we look long enough at the gouge in the tabletop, we fail to see the beauty of the wood. Defeated perfectionism leads to self-indulgence, escapism, and even to the exploitation of others. That's hardly the kingdom of God. Fortunately, Jesus offers a better way. He announced it in the advice we read in today's gospel reading. Sell your possessions, give, share. Where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Have your lamps lit. You must be ready. In other words, your treasure is not in what you own, but in your relationships. The way to deal with frustration is to be generous with others. Don't think of yourself first. Instead, reach out to others with love. Live and love in such a way that you're always ready to meet Christ in this world and in the next. We have to face it. Frustration is a part of life. It's the corollary of free will. Think of it as a violin string that sings when it's under tension and agitated. The only way our lives can be tuned to God's will is in this singing of strings stretched taut between the heaven of Christ's love and the misery of our own frustrations. So, let me offer some steps for how, practical steps maybe, for how we can deal with frustration in our own journey in faith. First, think. Frustration often results when we don't get our way. When a drawer won't slide, we're frustrated. When a computer won't do what we expect, we're frustrated. But in a deeper sense, we're frustrated when our goals are defeated, when our dreams go up in smoke. So first, stop and think. Second, decide. If there's a difference between my will and God's will, I better back off. But if I'm an instrument of God's will, then I'd better step up and serve others first. If the drawer won't close, I need to back off, examine it, and figure out why. But if someone dismisses or degrades another person because of that person's ethnicity or race, a clear violation of God's love, then I'd better not respond with silence, because that is a tacit approval. I'd better step up and speak up. For example, I might say, "You wouldn't expect me to agree with that, would you?" Think, then decide. Make music with that tension and agitation. Third, risk. Significant goals often require risk. That's consistent with the biblical notion of faith. Love is always risky. Faith is always risky. Look at Jesus, who took the ultimate risk and gave his life for others, for you and for me. Love is always God's way, and always risky. But without love, life is intolerable. Fourth, persevere. Keep your eye on the goal, not on your frustration. Offer yourself to Christ in prayer, confident that the Holy Spirit can release in your hidden resources, can extend your patience, can unlock your insights, and best of all, can reassure you that with Christ as your companion, you never have to walk alone. That's the great advantage of spiritual disciplines like making time for scripture reading, praying, and reaching out to others with love. Finally, laugh. If we get so caught up in our frustrations that we forget to laugh, we've missed one of God's most wonderful gifts, a sense of humor. President William Howard Taft offered a memorable example in that 1912 presidential race when he ran for re-election as president against both Teddy Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson. Taft lost in a landslide, and of course that was very frustrating to him. But even so, he exclaimed, "No candidate was ever elected ex-president by such a large majority." God has prepared for you, as for Abraham and all the saints, such good things as pass our understanding. Christ loves you and wants to give you the best for you, even when your journey in faith frustrates you. So my prayer is that you may rise above the temptations of popularity and prosperity that discourage you and follow Jesus. May you be encouraged to follow Jesus. May you, instead of thinking of those frustrations, may you think and decide, risk and persevere, and then laugh all the way to the heaven of love and service that give life its zest. God bless you, and thank you. Amen. Amen.